Satan took over humanity. Satan took over humanity. And he did it in a mysterious way. And he did it as if he took God by surprise. But we have proved that he didn't take God by surprise. Because Timothy, Apostle Paul was telling Timothy that the foundation of God stands sure. He said, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. God knows those that are his. Try, please, to get the tape. This is the fourth part. The fourth part of the sermon we've been taking, part four, of the doctrine of the serpent seed. And as we go along, it's only to make it clearer and clearer, these mysteries. Clearer and clearer to establish the fact of what happened in the Garden of Eden. What happened in the Garden of Eden was a mystery that has been revealed now to the bride of Jesus Christ. What happened in the Garden of Eden was Satan himself planting his seed of discrepancy and mixing animal seed with the human seed so that he can anoint that animal nature to cause human beings to be behaving like animals. And by that, he brought death and brought separation because he instituted sin among human beings. And we got separated from God. But God, knowing it will happen before the foundation of the world, he already has made provision for our escape. Hallelujah. He already has made provision for our escape. And I try to show you that the same way he entered the Garden of Eden through the woman Eve. I told you again, the same way he has entered the church of Jesus Christ through the church. The church there is a woman, is typed as a woman in the Bible, and that I told you in the Bible there are three women symbolically spoken of in the Bible. I told you the first woman that relates to the church, that relates to the salvation plan of God, the first woman that we saw there is in Revelation chapter 12. That woman there is Israel. And the second woman that we see is in Revelation chapter 17. And that woman there is the Catholic Church, the mother of harlots. That's how I describe her. And then the third woman there is the bride of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 19, where he says, from verse 6, 7, 8, he says, the bride has made herself ready. And to her, she is given that she should be arrayed, clothed in white linen, clean, white. And he says, that dressing there is the righteousness of the saints. That lets you know there is the righteousness of the saints. And righteousness means a right standing before God. Righteousness does not mean don't steal, don't kill, don't lie. That is not righteousness. That is not righteousness. It is the righteousness of God that leads to you not lying, not fornicating. Fornication is not the act of righteousness. It is because you have the righteousness of God in you that you will stay away from sin. You stay away from all those lying and fornication. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And now, we're saying here, the righteousness there, the dressing of the bride is the righteousness of the saints. The dressing there, first and foremost, is the revelation of the word. Hallelujah. The ability to come and have a stand, a right standing in an acceptable way, the doctrine of justification, before God. Hallelujah. And remember, I said, knowing that Satan will use serpent to pervert human beings, God made provision for his only begotten son. And the mystery that brought the serpent coming in to pollute the human creature is known as the mystery of iniquity. And the mystery that God used to restore his children back to him is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It's known as the mystery of godliness. And that mystery says, for great is the mystery of godliness. That scripture, 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, God was manifested in the flesh. During our Bible study last Tuesday, a sister asked a question on the Godhead. Is that sister here today? Is she here today? Wave your hand. You are the one there. God bless you. God bless you. I'm sure you are clear because you had something you have never had before. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Concerning the Godhead, we saw that who was Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was the creator of the heavens and the earth in human form. For what? To restore back his children. To redeem them. To redeem them. And I told you, the meaning of redemption, to redeem something, is to have back something that was originally yours, but under certain circumstances, parted away from you. And so you want to have it back. It is called redemption. To redeem. That is first and foremost, originally you were his. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, he did not go for every human being. He went for his own. You have to be his. And when were you his? You were his from the foundation of the world. Because your name is written in the book of life. And that name was written there before the foundation of the world. That's why he says, he, God, knows them that are his. And they are only his own. That he came to purchase with the price of redemption. His own precious blood on the cross of Calvary. Who was Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was Emmanuel, God with us. Who was Jesus Christ? Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, he is the almighty, the everlasting father. And I explained to you why he's the everlasting father. Because he is also the father of all new creation. All creation are now in Christ Jesus. He gave birth now to us. That's why Colossians chapter 1, if you read it from verse 16, it lets us know that all things were created by him and for him. Why? He is the everlasting father. The seed of God were supposed to have come through Adam to repopulate the earth, but he lost it. That's why Jesus is referred to as the last Adam. But this time around, Revelation chapter 1 tells us he is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end of what? Of our salvation. Hallelujah. There will be no other Adam after Jesus Christ. That's why he is the last Adam. All we are waiting for, the Bible says the whole creature waited earnestly for what? For the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. And that will only be manifested through the Lord Jesus Christ after the rapture, when we shall come back to possess the earth with the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, because there shall be peace on earth. Therefore, every creature will be at peace because the Prince of Peace with his children, they are on earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The same way that he entered the Eve in the Garden of Eden is the same way also that he has entered the church. And today is a special program. We cannot talk too much. Hallelujah. We cannot talk too much because some people didn't come here because they want to hear the word. Some people came here because they want to break mirror. So we don't want them to be angry too much. Amen. Because I told you something, that the gospel is not for everybody. One identification of a true child of God What excites you is not prophecy. What excites you is not anointing. What excites you is the revelation of the word of God. Because there's something, the more you get to know who this God you are serving is and how he works, the more faith you have to worship him. Hallelujah. And that's why he said, upon the rock of revelation of who Jesus Christ is, knowing who Jesus Christ is, upon that rock, he will build his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And a lot of mysteries to be explained. The church of Jesus Christ started, as I spoke last Sunday, it was pure, demonstrated by the parable in Matthew 13. Can we quickly read it again? And then, just very few minutes. And this is very, very important. Very, very important. Very, very important. These things excite me. And they are the basis of my faith. To take the stand that I take in my Christian life. Remember, I told you that the stand I take today is not because I'm a pastor. There is nowhere in the Bible that says that anybody will go to heaven because he's a pastor. There's nowhere. The same condition that the church member we pass through to go to heaven is the same condition the Pope must pass through. I think it's the highest, they say, in Christendom. The same condition. Nobody will go to heaven because he is a general overseer, or general superintendent, or Pope. Nobody. And to even start with, general overseer, Pope, general superintendent, well, okay, His Holiness, His Grace, His Preeminence, Cardinal, Archbishop, Monsignor, Mont something. Now, you know that all these ones, you know they are not Christian titles. No, you know. So that alone tells you nobody will go to heaven because you acquire any title on earth. You know that. That's what I'm trying to say. That the things I stand for is not because I'm a pastor. I have always stood by this. Since 1989, those who have known me, I have not deviated one bit. Every day, I move from glory to glory because every day he shines his light more and more on the pathway of salvation to give me every reason to keep walking on it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, that scripture in John 14 verse 6 is true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. By that, all other religions, all, whatever name you call them, supposedly worshiping the living God, by that scripture, who believe that scripture is true? Can I see your hand up? Thank you, you believe it. You believe it because you are a Christian now, you are going to church. By that revelation, by that statement, he has all others can never get to the creator of the heavens and the earth. Now they come home also. Hallelujah. He says, the Bible says, Christ was telling the woman at the well in John chapter 4 that the Father seeketh such that we worship him, the true worshippers. We worship him. Where will the true worshippers worship him? Why are you afraid to say it? The Bible says the true worshippers will worship him in Catholic Church. Eh? The true worshippers will worship him in Chusi. The true worshippers will worship him in Redeem. Okay. The true worshippers will worship him in Broad Assembly. Where will they worship him? In spirit and in truth. By that, no address is a gateway to heaven. Hallelujah. Catch it, brethren. It's important, those of you who fight for your churches, so that the only reason you will identify with anywhere is that you have the assurance that those group of people, they are worshiping in truth and in spirit. Why? Because some people can worship in error and in the flesh. You can worship God in the flesh. That is intellectualism. There are people that use intellectualism to preach the gospel. They will use English terminologies and philosophical principles and understanding and try to speak about salvation. By the time they finish, they will chase the Holy Ghost away from that church. That is worshiping God in the flesh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The same thing also. Hallelujah. You can worship God in error. There is the spirit of truth and there is the spirit of error. And they are all in the church. And they came through this parable 13. Can we read it now? Another parable put him forth, verse 24 of Matthew 13, for those of us reading it for the first time, saying, I'm going to be a little fast so that I can at least pick one and conclude it. We can complete the rest later because of time. Another parable put him forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Which seed did he sow? Good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together. That is where the mystery is. Until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. From verse 36, you see the interpretation. Now, watch it. That parable is speaking about the church of Jesus Christ. Extensively, I spoke on it last Sunday. Get the tape and try to follow, because I want to move forward today. Now, the important thing we see there is that because both good seeds and the bad seeds were planted in the same farm, the church of Jesus Christ, which is also a type of the womb of Eve. That also two kinds of seeds were planted there in the same womb, Cain and Abel. But the two of them had their different sources, different fathers. Whoever planted them there, two different people planted Cain and Abel in the womb of Eve, a type of the church of Jesus Christ. The good seed was sown by the Lord Jesus Christ, but the bad seed, after men slept, after the apostles all disappeared from the scene through death and through martyrdom and whatever, then the enemy came to the church also and began to sow his own also. And as time went on, the identity of the church was confusing. What they were seeing in the church was confusing. And if anybody here is sincere with himself, that you will understand that there are a lot of questions to be answered. If you turn today, read the Bible and turn and look at the condition of the church today. Anybody that is sincere, you are not just possessed by a religious spirit, but you are somebody that is critically following the Christian race, you will have a lot of questions to ask. One of the questions, for instance, if you look at this Bible here, the Bible here, and read the Bible from the Acts of Apostles up to the book of Jude, There are doctrines there. The church in action. They set the foundation. Ephesians 2:20. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20 says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. If we are built on the foundation, Apostle Paul went further. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, hallelujah, where he spoke, somewhere in verse 4, 3, 4, where he spoke about, if another one comes to you, Ephesian church, and preaches, the Corinthian church, and preaches any another gospel. He spoke of another gospel. Hallelujah. And then he led a course again, Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1. If you read it from verse 6, 7, he said, if anyone comes to preach any other gospel other than what we have preached, he said, let that person be accursed. He said, even if he himself or an angel comes to preach anything contrary to what they have preached, let him be accursed. Church, let me quickly say something that must not escape my mind. I said that what serpent did to Eve in the Garden of Eden, did it take God by surprise? No. He knew it would happen. And because he knew it would happen, he made provision for the restoration of his children back to this same earth, which is the process going on now, that produced the Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing also. What condition that the church is going on now? Did God know that the church will be messed up to be what we see today? Did he know? And because he knew, he made provision for a restoration ministry in Malachi chapter 4. A ministry of restoration. Where he says, behold, verses 5 and 6, I sent, before the coming of the great and dreadful day, I sent my Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day. I've explained that scripture several times here and there on our tapes. He said, he will do two things. He will turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers. And when we speak of Elijah, hallelujah, that mystery is not understood by all. The reason is that prophecy speaks of two things. Two days there. There is the great day of the Lord and the dreadful day of the Lord. The great day of the Lord is the day that the Lord Jesus Christ came and went to the cross on Calvary and then paid the price for redemption. And you and I now have access to the throne of grace because the veil has been broken. Hallelujah. That is the great day. And that day is still on. Because he's still saving now. But there is the day of the Lord. That day is the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And the prophet said, he said, woe to him that desires the day of the Lord. And I have preached a message that I titled The Day of the Lord. You can also get that on the tape. And anybody that desires that day, desiring is the way you live your life. The kind of thing that is going to come upon this earth. I proved it in the Bible, where I told you that darkness that will cover the earth, we calculated it according to the scripture. It will last for 30 days. That is the period that Christ will be coming with the saints that went in the rapture to come to earth to start the millennial reign. That is the time that Matthew 25 parable will be fulfilled, dividing the sheep from the goats. Now, but before each of these 2 days will come to pass, before the great and dreadful day, before the great day, he will send Elijah the prophet. Before the great, the dreadful day, he will send Elijah the prophet. Before the great day, he will send Elijah the prophet. That is why in Matthew 11, Christ told his disciples, the Elijah that is to come is John the Baptist. That is the one that foreran his first coming. And then we see that in Malachi chapter 3 also, verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Behold, I send my messenger before you, who shall prepare the way for me. And the messenger and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. And that prophecy in Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 was fulfilled when? Where? In Matthew chapter 3, by that baptism of Jesus Christ at the river Jordan. The messenger that was sent was John the Baptist. And as he was there preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, because remember, John said, he will increase and I will decrease. As he was doing that, Jesus Christ came to be baptized. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. The Jehovah God that Israel was worshipping, while the messenger is busy there, hallelujah, making, preparing the way, he will suddenly come to his temple. What is that temple of the Jehovah God of Israel? The temple was coming. Because Jesus Christ said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will build it up. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was the temple of the Holy Ghost. Because Colossians says, in him, Jesus, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When was that achieved? By the river Jordan. As John the Baptist baptized him and came out, the messenger preparing the way baptized him as he was coming out. The temple of God. He washed the temple of God. Ready. The windows of heaven opened. And the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him like a dove. And a voice spoke from heaven, announcing to the whole world, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That is why he told the woman at the well. He said, you worship a God you don't even know. You don't even know. You are busy arguing. Like so many of us argue about our churches. We worship in this temple. Samaritans, we worship on that mountain. You Jews, you worship in that. And he said, a time is coming when the Father seeketh such that we worship him. Neither in this mountain nor in any temple, but you will worship him in spirit and in truth. Where is God's address now? Because the temple has been torn apart. Why? He is no more in any physical building anywhere. God, by that action, announced to the whole world, if you are looking for me, Jehovah God, this is where I am now, in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ became God's chosen place of worship. You catch that revelation, you will never fight for your pastor. You will never fight for your church. You can say anything you like against Pride Assembly. It does not affect the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can say anything against Pastor Moses. It will never affect my salvation. Why? As long as I am in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I am in the correct place of worship. The correct place of worship is not in any address on earth. The correct place of worship is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I am stressing this because not many people sitting down here today are members of this church. And so many of you love what we do here, but you are so yoked to your church. And please, we are not telling you to leave your church and come here, but we are telling you to leave your church and be in Christ. Hallelujah. And to be in Christ is to be in his word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To be in Christ is to be in his word. Well, God knew it will happen, and he made provision for the restoration of the church. That is the second Elijah, the ministry of turning the heart of the children, apostolic children, back to the heart of the apostolic fathers, back to the doctrines of the Bible, back to Bible-based Christianity. We are, there's the freedom of worship, all guided by the revelation of truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that is what God has opened our eyes to see. And that is the product of this ministry. If you don't love truth, you can't enjoy worshiping here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because here, we didn't go to Bible school. We didn't go to Bible college. Amen. Like William Branham said, I don't know how to read and write or read this Bible. And then with the big grammar, the latest translation and everything, he said, I may not know how to read this Bible as fluently as those doctors of philosophy and doctors of divinity. He said, but one thing I know is, hallelujah, I may not know this Bible, but I know the writer of this Bible. Hallelujah. He said, that is enough for me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you know the writer of this Bible, then you don't have any problem, because the purpose of writing this Bible is to enable you to know the writer. It is the writer introducing himself to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, like I was saying, I say, if you look at this scripture, it's very easy. If you look at the Bible, I mean to say, it's very easy to know that there is confusion in Christendom today. I say it again. Hallelujah. Time will not permit us to look at why Uzzah was killed when he tried to help the ark when it was falling. But why? It's because they took the ark of Jesus Christ in a modern way. They were returning the ark of Jesus Christ back to Israel. And there was revival going on. And before you know what, something happened and the ark was going to fall. Why? Hallelujah. Uzzah, who loved God so much, tried to help so that the ark will not fall down from the cart, the beautiful decorated cart they made for it, with the decorated horses moving it. As he tried to help, God smote him dead. And David was afraid. How can somebody be wanting to help so that the thing that belongs to God will not scatter? God kill him. Something is wrong. He withdrew and began to go back to the scriptures. He called everybody, come. How did God say we should carry this ark? What did he tell? That was it that Moses gave the law. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Hebrew 13 verse 8, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they discovered that there is a particular way. Moses did not say, when you want to move with the ark, you should put an animal to carry the ark. Brethren, animals are carrying the word of God. Serpent seeds are carrying the word of God. It should not be so. Serpent seeds. And how is it? An animal with a decorated auditorium. Decorated, wonderfully decorated everywhere. Modern way. New translation of Bible. Modern way of doing everything. Everything modern. But the Bible says, no. This is a New Testament. There is a 21st century anointing. Now you just follow. And then they put in an animal. Only to discover there is a correct way of doing it. And David, when he found out, he said, we lost a life. Why? Because we did not carry the ark according to the due order. And the due order in the New Testament today is this Bible. And if you look at this Bible, who are those carrying the scriptures today and preaching and leaders in the church? The Bible forbids woman pastor. But women are carrying the ark of Jesus Christ. Women overseer. When the Bible forbids it in express terms, it's not by accident that of 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, no woman was among.